Hi there. Do you know what your anxiety profile is? Me, I was a besieged panicker. We often say that the first step to reversing anxiety is to understand it. And that's why we've created a tool to help you discover your anxiety profile. And it's totally free. In about 90 seconds, you'll receive your customized anxiety profile. And it will answer so many questions you've probably been struggling with, including, am I going crazy? And why me? So if you haven't yet, pause this episode and head to lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile or click the link in the show notes. I promise you'll get a lot more out of this and every episode once you know your anxiety profile. And now, on to the show.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Life Free of Anxiety podcast. We are finally to part three of Kyle and my conversation about how I overcame anxiety. And we've also been discussing what it's like for a spouse or a loved one to be married to or have to live with somebody with anxiety and how to deal with that. Kyle's given you his perspective, and now you're going to hear his take on what it was like when I actually got better from my anxiety and how we were able to go on with our lives. Also, don't forget to rate us on the iTunes store or on Stitcher or wherever you're listening to us. Your ratings mean the world to us. And connect with us on Instagram or Facebook, Life Free of Anxiety. And don't forget, you can also get Dr. Barr's incredible relaxation exercise at lifefreeofanxiety.com/relax. And speaking of Dr. Barr, he is going to be back with me next time. So get excited for that. All right, let's finish this conversation with Kyle and I.
Welcome to the Life Free of Anxiety podcast, where each week we'll bring you another discussion to help you on your way to overcoming your fears. I'm Erica, and together with Dr. Charles Barr, a licensed clinical psychologist specializing in anxiety, we'll be your guides on this journey. Because you are not broken, you are not alone, and you are on your way to living a life free of anxiety.
So, Kyle?
Yes, I'm here.
So there's good news. This is not all the bad things we just talked about are not, that's not the end of the story. Thank God. That's not the life we live now.
I can say that it's amazing to see you having attained a life free of anxiety. It's been, I can't even believe how different our lives are now.
Yeah. Well, specifically, what do you, like, if you had to compare the two, what are the differences in me that you saw when I recovered? Like, what are some of the immediate things?
The immediate things?
Yeah.
Just seeing you at peace. Mm-hmm. Right? Seeing you at peace. Seeing you able to sleep. You know, there was a spark of life that came back into you. And you could tell that you just were able to relax a little bit and enjoy moment to moment things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's now when something comes up, where before there would be so much fear, like, uh-oh, what's this going to mean for Erica? You know, we're able to go through life together and kind of just enjoy being a married couple and now having a kid and things that seemed so far away, I think, when we were at those lowest points.
What about having a kid? Because I know that that was one thing that stood out to me a lot, was how much you remarked on how calm I was finding out I was pregnant, being pregnant, and actually delivering a baby, which is something I was really afraid of. Back before I recovered, I had a lot of fears of medical situations in general. This was like the medical situation of the century. So what difference did you see in me with that?
So I never would have imagined, having a kid seemed like one of the scariest things, not just because like, oh, what's our son's life going to be like if we never do anything?
If we can't get him up the elevator when he's in a stroller and we can't carry that. Yeah.
But it was just like, how are you going to handle, you know, feeling different things while you're pregnant and the hormonal changes. And I hear that, you know, emotions are affected during pregnancy and the whole delivery is a scary thing. There was a time in our marriage where I didn't know how we would possibly be able to do that. And so the fact that you went through pregnancy anxiety free and the delivery, by the way, you were a rock star. I don't.
Thanks.
I'm so glad I never have to do that. But it was such a blessing.
Can I just not let you off the hook for 1 second? Because Kyle doesn't have anxiety. He does have one very specific form of anxiety where he passes out if he sees any blood. I'm not going to go into details about my birth, but it should have made Kyle pass out. We'll say that. And he was so strong and made it through miraculously. I don't know how, but it was miraculous because you
needed me. And so
that is the one place though, where I think that's the only area you can kind of understand anxiety, because there's been times where you've been like, oh, getting the flu shot makes me want to pass out. And that is anxiety, by the way. And I'll be like, oh, because for me, that's never bothered me. So that's the one place where I don't fully understand. But yes, you were very strong too.
No, it's so remarkable. You know, we've got this little baby. He'll be a year old soon. So that means we've spent like a year and a half or more now between you being pregnant and being a new mom. And it's remarkable that anxiety hasn't been a part of that.
I was listening to this book the other day, and the author was talking about how anxiety ridden he was until he wasn't anymore, because he recovered from it. And he was talking about how like bad off he was when he was anxious, and it was like, whoa, this is really bad. And then once he recovered, he got just like so many health problems. And he said, but what was so strange and what nobody could believe was how calmly he went through all of it. These were like cancer treatments and stuff like that. And I was like, gosh, you know what? I believe that. Before I would have been like, yeah, right. Sure. But I feel like even just with something as small as pregnancy, which is not equivalent to what he went through, but I can see now how you can manage really things that you never thought you could in a calm fashion. I hope that gives people some help who are listening, or some hope that are listening.
Yeah, there were times where I was serious, not just about your emotional health, but I was worried about your physical health with all the anxiety you were. Mm-hmm. I mean, you were having problems with gastritis and, you know, stomach acid.
Yeah, which is not uncommon when you are constantly anxious. Yeah, that's true. You are doing a lot to your body. You're asking a lot of your body when you're constantly in an anxious state. You're not meant to stay there. In that state, you're meant to stay in a neutral zone. Basically, that's where your body wants to be. Yes, if something flares it up like a gun to your head, your body is meant to get extremely afraid and make a plan, right? Like you may, even if
adrenaline.
Freeze, that's still kind of like a response to that. So that would be your body being bumped out of its, you know, resilient
that's
zone.
That's
anxious. Right. That's what we were built for. But we weren't built to stay in an anxious state 24/7. We were built.
No.
And did you know that animals are able to, they don't have the same issues we do? Like if somebody, like if an animal attacks a turtle, let's say, and a turtle gets away, the turtle's
slowly
able to basically... I shouldn't use a turtle. I don't know why a turtle is in my head. But the animal is able to shake it off and move on with his life and not say,
I'm a dangerous past.
Yeah, and he doesn't say, I'm a bad turtle. What a stupid turtle for going out in the in the wilderness and getting caught by whatever, the fox. But I always thought that was interesting. Like, wow, we're actually designed different.
I love how your story was a turtle and a fox.
I thought that's what I heard it described as one time, but now I'm second guessing myself. Anyways.
Well, so let me ask you a question. So what was it? How did you find Dr. Barr? Because that was really the turning point.
Are you changing the subject? Because my turtle and fox story was getting weird.
Well,
okay.
Like maybe a fox and a rabbit would have made more sense. Uh-oh. But okay, I get your point.
Okay, fine. Animals are able to shake it off. So I found Dr. Barr when I knew that I wasn't going to get over my fears without actually doing them. So like taking an elevator
I knew I had to take one, but I was wondering, like, what is all this I've heard about doing it calmly with the right training and the right, like, was there something he could say or train me somehow to get me to a level where I could do?
to face your avoidances?
Yeah, because I was so avoidant at this time. So I found him online, and I did not know what to expect. I knew I was going to walk out of his office if he was like, let's get on an elevator right now and get you stuck. Because I had heard of exposure therapy, and I really didn't know how that worked. Or flooding, they call it, where they actually will get you stuck and let you, you know, panic, I guess, or is the idea not to panic? I don't know. But the idea is that it like floods your system and you get over it that way. Which
I can't imagine anything more terrifying.
Right.
For you.
I know. I don't know. So there's different. I can't explain everything that psychologists do because I don't really know. I just heard little things, but I knew that that's not what I wanted. What's your next question about Dr. Barr? Because I don't.
Okay.
Just go.
So you went to the consultation with him, and was there an elevator or?
There was an elevator, and I took the stairs.
Okay. And so I just from listening to your podcast, I know it was cognitive behavior therapy.
Yes, cognitive behavioral therapy.
And but he put you through a program.
He did. Yeah. So I just was like, I don't know who this guy is. He's recommending I do a program. I had heard of anxiety programs before, had never touched them.
And for people who, you know, are going through this, the cost of therapy is not insignificant.
No.
You know, we at this time had spent probably thousands of dollars on different therapy treatments. Mm-hmm. Is that fair to say?
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Yeah. Well, you were always very like, whatever it takes, Erica, just go.
Yeah.
But
still have to budget for it.
You're like, just please come back. Well, I was kind of like, who is this guy? You know, Dr. Barr is not the cheapest therapist in town, but he is the best. I will say that. And so, you know, my question to you is, how much more would you have paid if somebody had told you, I can have your wife like this?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
There's no amount of money that I wouldn't have paid.
Right.
If I knew with a guarantee that something would have cured you, there's no amount of money. I imagine most people who are in this state feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
It's if you have to pay it off for 30 years, who cares? At least you could live life again.
But we didn't do anything. I mean, we never financed a thing, did we?
No.
No.
But so big love. What I'm trying to get at is that you came in and he said, hey, if nothing else, do this program.
Yeah. So he said, you're so funny how you're keeping me on track. So, because Dr. Barr's not nearly this pushy when I record with him. but he said, I was like, you know, I don't know about this program. What about just seeing you for a while? And he's like, look, if anything, don't see me and do this program. I had an earthquake experience where I was, really traumatized. And this is like what got me better. I remember him saying, I thought I was going to go through the window and it really messed him up for a while or traumatized him. And he did this program and this was the program he wanted me to do. And I was just like, I don't know. It didn't excite me that he pulled out a program. It was just like, oh, so this is what it is? Oh.
But did the fact that he had had his own anxiety experience, did that help you at all to trust him or connect with him?
It helped because he was such a nice person, obviously. But since I didn't know him from anything and I didn't have like a recommendation, I had found him online. Part of me was like, well, maybe he's just trying to make money off this program he pushes. I mean, sorry, Dr. Barr, but that is kind of what my mind went to. Like, well,
you're so suspicious.
Well, yeah, at that point. Yeah. And I was like, well, I thought we were going to like sit together every day and really talk about what it would be like to do this elevator ride. Or I don't know what I thought. Like, don't you have something else? I think I told you about it and you were like, do it.
Do it. Yeah.
Do it. That's what you always say, though. You're always like, do it. Yeah. Sure. Kyle's like such a yes person. He's so positive.
I was desperate, too, for you to, you know, have some relief.
Desperate for a new wife.
No, never. I'm never that.
And so when did I buy it? Did I buy it that day or did I come home?
Yeah, you got it immediately. I think you bought it. Well, in short order, yeah. I think before you went and saw him again, you bought the program.
Okay.
So you get this program,
yes.
And it's the same program he went through.
Right.
And how long do you think it was before you started to feel some hope again?
That's a really good question.
As I recall the program,
it took
a good amount of work, and you were doing some, exercises and, you were doing homework. I'm trying to remember how long it was before you started to like gain some of that hope back. Cause it seemed to come back fairly quickly.
Well, so the program is 16 weeks, first mm-hmm. of all. So that gives you a timeline of what I was doing, but I believe that it was 9 weeks, 10 weeks in.
Until you were feeling relief or?
I think I was. Okay. So in the program, they do say that the way you're going to feel relief is going to be in retrospect.
Mm.
And that is absolutely 100% true. It's you start moving on with your life and you honestly don't even notice at first. Because that's
until you look back, you're like, oh, wow, I haven't been anxious for a few days.
Right. You just start like moving on. And so was I getting on elevators without thinking? No, that was a little bit different of an approach. But it did go along with the program. And yes, by the end of 16 weeks, before the end of 16 weeks, I was taking elevators. So
it was less than that. It was, I think it was 10 or 12 weeks and you were riding elevators.
Yeah. Maybe nine, ten, yeah, something around there. Yeah,
which, by the way, is, after so many years, that was one of the most shocking things. One of the most exciting, I have it marked on my calendar so that I'm reminded every single year when the anniversary of this comes up.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember us parking in the parking structure and heading towards the stairs. And this parking structure in Glendale had a glass elevator. And you saying, I want to take this elevator. And it just being so shocking to me.
And I was like, but I'm not sure. So hurry up and get on and don't ask questions. Let's go.
And so I shut the door. So we took it. We were like on the third floor and we took it to the second floor.
And then I think some guy tried to get in. And we're like, no, not now.
But we took it down one floor and you're like, no, let's take it down the next story too. And so we went from third floor to the first floor, but it was technically two elevator rides.
Mm-hmm.
And I could not believe it.
Nobody could. When we texted a couple of people, we got home.
It was so shocking.
And
I would say fairly soon after that, I think, it was like another week or two and you rode an enclosed elevator.
Well, yeah, I went to Dr. Barr's office and I was like, so this happened. He's like, okay, well, let's take my elevator. And I was like, I don't know. And so we took it together. He didn't trap me in there. I've said that on the last episode or one episode before that he never trapped me. There's nothing ever weird that happened. It was because I was ready. And, in a lot of ways I didn't feel ready too, but yeah, we got on and we took it down and then we took it up and I was like, oh my gosh. Cause that was more of like a claustrophobic-y elevator. And
mm-hmm.
I was able to do that. So,
and I mean, over the next few weeks, there were certain elevators where you're like, nah, that one looks sketchy. I'm not ready for that. But
well, I did take an elevator 9 floors or 13 floors in downtown LA just a couple weeks after that.
Wow.
And
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I took it with several people in it. And
And I don't think we ever mentioned this, but I think like a week or two before you began or was this while you were going through the program that we went to visit some relatives of yours who lived on the 13th floor.
This was right when I was getting better, but I was in denial, or really not in denial, but didn't know that the program was working so well. So I was like, no, I still have to take the stairs. And so we took the stairs and they're downtown LA.
13 floors up and down.
It was good exercise though. No,
it was,
I think it was 11.
It,
flights, but
was it 11? Okay, yeah. 11 story. You know what? That doesn't matter.
Okay.
But we took that, and then I think that was the point where you kind of a flips switched and you said, you know, you're not doing that again. And
that's what it was. It was the next day I took that glass elevator. That's what happened. I remember this.
Oh.
And we were like, what? Because you last night just made us walk 11 flights up the stairs. But I had I something that I still can go back to sometimes. And I always know this about myself is that I will fall into playing the part. So like sometimes I have to be like, no, you're past that now. Let's go. And
because it's comfortable?
Because it's really ingrained in me that that's what I was afraid of. And that's what my brain thinks is still a little, you know, worrisome or whatever. And then I do it and I'm like, oh, yeah, you're over it. But there are times where I go back to playing the part. And so I was still playing the part. It's not because it's comfortable. It's just because it's what I've practiced a lot. You know, we talk a lot about practice in this program and on this podcast, and that's really what it is. I had practiced being afraid. The podcast or the program takes you through practicing being unafraid. So I thought that was interesting when I discovered that.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, your life free of anxiety has changed both of our lives. And, you know, I think everybody connected to you, you know, it's not just me, it's friends of yours, you know, family, you know, everybody connected to you has in some way benefited from you finding a way to overcome your anxiety. No, I was there when it got to its worst.
Lucky you.
And then when it got better.
And then when it, yeah.
And I am, by the way, this is a side note, but I am so excited about you and Dr. Barr bringing this program back.
Me too. I am so excited.
It's like I can attest to the power of this program and the fact that it's never been available online and that it's kind of, this program's kind of disappeared for a little bit. I'm so excited that you and Dr. Barr are bringing this back because I just imagine there are a lot of people out there in a similar situation to you or to me, watching one of their loved ones suffer or being the one suffering and knowing that there is a solution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a weird way, I almost feel like everything you went through in regards to anxiety, there's maybe a purpose to it if you're able to help other people to get through the same way you did.
So
yeah, there was one time I remember because I was listening to a number of anxiety podcasts when you were at your worst. I remember hearing one thing that someone said that you can never get over anxiety. You can only learn to live with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that just at the time being such a sad thing to hear. But I'm so glad that that turned out not to be the case.
Yeah. And I think the real answer there is that you can learn to be in charge of it, really.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of what our program teaches, is that you have a lot more control than you think. So we are very excited to get that out to you guys and hear your stories that sound like mine and the other side of that.
Well, thank you so much for letting me hop on your podcast.
You're welcome.
This might be the most people I've ever talked to at once before.
Really? What would you... You said people can reach out to you, spouses that are having a hard time, at erica@lifefreeofanxiety.com. But what would you say to somebody who is dealing with a spouse who is very anxious and it's maybe getting in the way of their marriage?
So there's a couple things that I would definitely say. First, it's important to learn about anxiety and what's going on, because while no one can ever truly understand what severe anxiety is or what an anxiety attack is unless they go through it, just understanding what's going on in the mind and the body can help to better understand how your loved one is affected.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it's real important to be supportive. One of the things that as part of the program you did was you presented me with a letter that did an excellent job of explaining what you were feeling. And what you were going through. And it also had some tips. I need to dig this up. Maybe we can make that available later. But some of the tips were, you know, not to be asking you constantly about your anxiety, not to be making suggestions of treatments or talking about other people's anxiety stories. There were a number of tips like that. But it's, there's no way to truly understand what you're going through, and what you can see in your loved one is just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, they might seem nervous, but inside it's 100 times that. And so having that understanding, I think, is real important, and being supportive and knowing that you aren't doing it on purpose.
Yeah. Being patient.
You know, I think the worst thing that could ever be said is, oh, snap out of it, or pretend that it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
And don't call someone cuckoo.
That never works.
Yeah.
Well, you were always very supportive. And I think that with that, sometimes I became a little bit of the victim, because all these bad things were happening to me. And, you know, you had to kind of be dragged down sometimes. But
I would say if I wasn't supportive of you, we wouldn't be together now, because there's no way you could have healed without if I was being antagonistic towards you.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, no. I don't know how that would have worked. but you were always, you always took a lot of time to learn about, you know, what I had to share from what I had learned might help me today. Or if I was reading a book, you agreed to, you know, to listen to the audiobook too. Or, you know, you didn't tell me, like, why are you waking me up again at 3 a.m? Which you easily could have. You know, you never tried to, like, humiliate me or make a joke about it in front of people. And you certainly never asked me to get over it. So if
I wanted to protect you. I never wanted to shame you or bully you into behaving like you weren't anxious.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's so wonderful to see you, how you're able to live life now. I never would have imagined that for a significant chunk of our marriage.
And in a lot of ways, you know, sometimes the unsung hero really can be the spouse or whoever, the support system of the anxious person. So if you're in that role and you're feeling burnt out and tired of it, you know, just know that you can really make or break, you know, the anxious person's recovery. And if you are supportive, I think they're going to find the right answers, and you're going to look back on this like we are. And, and, you know, with a little patience and hard work, it'll pay off. So don't give up, even if you're discouraged right now.
And one of my favorite things I always hear you say on the podcast is that to the person dealing with anxiety, it's, you're not alone. You're not broken. You're not alone. And you're on your way to a life free of anxiety. And and I've seen it firsthand. And I hope that everyone who hears this gets to experience the exact same thing.
Well, what do you say we eat dinner now and call it night?
Well, okay. Well, thanks for having me on the podcast.
Somehow
I didn't ramble too much.
Somehow our child miraculously stayed asleep for this. So
woo-hoo.
I know. So I'm not going to waste any more time. I'm getting up to eat. But yes, thank you so much for being here. And Dr. Barr will be back with me next time.
All right. Bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I hope that something in today's conversation provided you with a feeling of hope, determination, or purpose. I know what you're going through, and that's why I want to give you some of the tools that helped me in my anxiety journey. To get your free copy of Dr. Barr's relaxation audio that helped change my life forever, just go to lifefreeofanxiety.com/relax. Thanks again for listening, and remember, you are not broken, you are not alone, and you are on your way to living a life free of anxiety. See you next week.
Before you go, I wanted to give you one last reminder to discover your anxiety profile at lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile. Going forward, we really think this should be the starting point for everyone's anxiety journey. Once you're done, you'll probably wonder how we could learn so much from just a few questions. It really is amazing. What you don't see is behind the scenes, your responses are compared to what we've learned from helping over 200,000 people just like you reverse their anxiety over the past 40 years. It's a data-backed assessment with real insights. I promise it's worth 90 seconds of your time, and it's totally free. Just click the link in the show notes or head to lifefreeofanxiety.com/profile, and I'll talk to you again soon.